Someone say amen. Good stuff. Man, I love that. That music makes me want to scream freedom or run into the fire somewhere. I mean, it gets to me. I'm a dude. I can't help it. I'm a guy. That's very guy-ish. But good to see everybody. So glad you're here today. And just welcome to the bridge. We're happy that we get to do this. That's something I say all the time. Say it out loud with me. We get to do this. Let's do it again. We get to do this. Turn to your neighbor and say, we get to do this. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you get to do this. If anybody didn't get caught in the crossfire there, just I'll say it over everybody. We get to do this. And we mean that. It's not just some silly podcast name for what Adam and I do with our podcast called We Get to Do This. And the subtitle is God, the World, and Other Things. I'd love for you to check it out on the Godcast. You can go to our website and just click on Godcaster and then click on We Get to Do This. So check it out. What we're doing is we're unpacking what's going on in our culture, and then we're looking at what's happening in our world, all the latest news. I mean, we're on everything that's current. And then we look at it through a biblical lens. It's through a biblical worldview because God didn't call us to be out of the world. He said, don't be of it, but we are in it. We're just not of it. And we're to be salt and light. Amen? So I want to start off by giving you a briefing. I do this on a regular basis where we talk about what's going on in the culture. Adam so graciously wrote this. Usually what happens is Adam and I get in conversations in the car or at dinner or over coffee. And then on the podcast, we have the same conversations. We just hit record. That's the only difference. So what you hear on there is stuff happening in real time. So I want to start like this. As you know, there was a shooting at a presidential correspondents' dinner last night at the White House. If you don't know that, shock and awe, because it happened. Afterward, the press were looking for a confrontational statement from our president. But instead, after the event was interrupted, the president spoke of unification and protecting the First Amendment in the White House briefing room while everybody was still in their fancy gowns and tuxedos. It was a beautifully unifying moment. So if I had an applause sign, I would hold it up and say, this is a good time to applause. Our president was cornered into in there trying to be provocative and try to get him to say something in the heat of the moment, and all he did was talk about unity and the freedom of speech. And so there's a lot of good news this week, by the way. Sometimes our briefings are not so good. They can be hard, but listen to this. While the media tells you about mines supposedly dropped in the Persian Gulf, supposedly, our president has launched Operation Economic Fury alongside Operation Epic Fury. Treasury Secretary Bessent is dismantling the illegitimate oil and financial networks that profited from Middle East instability for decades. The same networks manufactured the 1974 oil crisis when Americans sat in gas lines. Anybody remember that? Anybody here old enough? I am. I remember. Even while that was happening, the oil was still flowing. That was never a real shortage. It was manipulation. That system, which held the world hostage through purposely unstable oil-producing nations, is now being taken apart. Good place to applause. Or say amen. This week, the media will show you King Charles and Queen Camilla arriving in Washington. The king will visit Yorktown Battlefield in Virginia, where the British surrendered to George Washington 250 years ago. Am I the only one who sees the absurdity of this visit? I mean, this is where they lost, and they're showing up. Yeah, that'll be interesting. He is coming because the old financial relationship between the City of London, if you're familiar with who they are the ones who basically holds the world hostage through their bank and insurance system. And it's older than dirt. The City of London and American energy markets is being unwound. This is not a celebration, them coming. It's actually a negotiation of terms of surrender. That's a good place to applaud right there. While distracting the media with tariff talk, our president has quietly and permanently changed Section 232 tariffs on steel, aluminum, and copper, creating hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs right here in America. I know, right? You won't see that in the narratives on the mainline news. Just know that. For every job in steel and copper, six more are created downstream. By 2028, this will reinvent American industrial capacity. He takes the heat because he loves his country and our grandchildren more than his poll numbers. Planned Parenthood clinics are selling Botox to keep the lights on. Hallelujah. They got to do something. The right to life is winning. That's a good place to cheer. And you may have heard of this. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been in the news a lot lately, which built its brand manufacturing division, has been charged by the DOJ. The truth always wins. Can somebody say amen? All right, land the plane here. Pray for our leaders, our service members, and the people of Iran, the Persians, also Israel, also all in the Middle East. Be a life-giving force. Adam, he caught me on this. IGBOC, that's the last thing. You know what that stands for? It's going to be okay. Someone say IGBOC. IGBOC. It's going to be okay. Say it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, family. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a word of prayer as we get started. Oh, we always start by praying for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, verse 6. Why? Because the word of God commands it, and we want to stand for and with who God stands for and with. Amen? Father, we honor you even as we step into your word, and we thank you for it. Psalm 122, 6, you tell us to pray for the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem. And so we do that even now, Father. We know there's a natural iron dome that's been built, but Father, there's also the hand of your providence, the real iron dome, and we ask for protection. We ask, Father, that these things would settle in the Middle East, Father, and that, Lord, these deals that are being brokered, Father, to keep the Strait of Hormuz open, to also to shut down this war, Lord, that you would literally make a way where there seems to be no way. And you would open doors that no man can shut in that region right now and shut it down. Father, we pray for our country, America. We pray for faith, family, and freedom. We pray for our President Trump and his cabinet as you command us to pray for our leaders. We pray, Father, for the church in America for revival and spiritual awakening. We pray across for the churches across our community for revival and spiritual awakening. And Father, we pray in alignment and in accordance with when one person came to Jesus, one of his disciples, he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said this, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, amen. Amen. As you're seated, go ahead and high five somebody on the way down. We're going to continue our series. We're actually, shock and awe, we're landing the plane on Colossians today. We're going to end this. We've been doing this. You know, it's actually a very short letter. It's only four chapters in this letter. So some of you are going, well, why didn't we do this in 2 weeks? Well, because it is packed and it is loaded, as you know, as we've been going through it. It's sort of like the highlight reel of the book of Romans, which is Paul's greatest theological treatise. I mean, that book alone is loaded, but he took Colossians and he trimmed this letter down. He trimmed Romans down so they could handle it because there were some issues going on in the church in Colossae. Remember, they had come in out of paganism. They were all brand new believers, but they were bringing their paganism with them into church. They weren't burning their idols. They were keeping them. And Paul wrote this letter to bring correction against Gnosticism and some of the various views that were happening. And so that was why the letter to the Colossians were written. And by the way, he never actually visited that church and he did not plant that church. And so he sends a letter to bring correction, to bring help, but also to bring practical instruction. Now, sometimes in theological circles, church circles, school and academic settings, the word practical isn't always used, but we're going to use it today. So when I was a student, I went to Howard Payne University. I got born again radically by the end of my senior year of high school, and I mean radically. I went from one end of the spectrum to the other into 180 degrees, radically saved, totally different from the way I was raised, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm a Christian now. What do I do? Because I was clueless. And yet, very early on, I began to sense a call on my life to do this very thing, to do ministry, to do life, to be a pastor, almost right away. And so a friend of mine, I started at Texas Tech, and a friend of mine had gone to Howard Payne University. He was a pastor, one of our pastors at our church. And he said, let's get you in and let's check out Howard Payne. So we went, fell in love with the place, fell in love with Brownwood. Now, when you've lived in Lubbock all your life, Brownwood looks like paradise. I'm just saying. They actually had lakes and deer and squirrels running through the trees. I'm like, what are all these living things? I mean, it was amazing. We went from the desert to paradise. And we loved our time there, and I had a great experience. But as a brand new ministerial student, I go in there, and the first thing they want you to do, as you know, if you've been to college, you have to choose or declare, you know, a path. You know, what am I going to do for a major? What do I want to major in? And so I knew I didn't want a Bachelor of Science degree because I wanted to be in ministry. So Bachelor of Arts. And they had various things like theology, student ministry, religious education. They had all these different things. And one of the titles caught my eye because it looked like an oxymoron at first. And here's what it was. The discipline was called practical theology. See why it sounds like an oxymoron? Because a lot of times when we talk about theology, we think, oh, that's all pie in the sky stuff, or that's all, you're sitting in an ivory tower, scholastic and academic, and you're pontificating, and you're doing philosophy and all that. But listen, that's not all of theology. The word theos, that simply means God. Ology is a study of or logicking of. So theology literally means logicking about God. So by definition, every one of you who know Jesus, and even if you don't, you're still a theologian. You should feel very smart right now. You are one who logics about God. You think about him. You've talked about him. You've had conversations. Some of you who don't know him yet, you've thought, is he even real? Is this any of this real? And so you're already doing theology, so to speak. But in academic settings, it can be pretty dry and dusty. And so I took practical theology because if there's anything I knew is that I needed to know how to bring this word, this Bible, into real life. How do I make this practical for where we live? And so that became my major, and I did it, and I had a great time, and I learned a lot. But practical theology is exactly what we're talking about today. How do we live out this faith that we talk about? I mean, where does faith meet life? In the dailies, in my everyday life. How does this work in real life? Because a lot of times we come to church, we check the box, and I say we, because I've done this in the past before, so I'm not indicting anyone or condemning, but I'm saying it's easy to come to church, check the box, and then go. And then from then on, the rest of your week, you're just about your own business. Maybe not logicking about God at all. Maybe just doing your stuff and doing what you do. And then next week, we got to go to church. Family, I got over that real quick as a brand new Christian. Instead of I have to go, I had a mentality of I get to go. I'm a church nerd. I'm just going to confess to you. I am a total church nerd. I love what we get to do. I love the buzz in the halls. I love seeing children escape out of children's ministry and run down the hall and chased by a teacher. I love this stuff. I love the life of what church is. It's just like at home, isn't it? I mean, it's real. Why? Because we're a spiritual family, and we are so blessed to be a part of it. And I got to tell you, the bride looks beautiful today, y'all. You look amazing. So as we go through this, the title of today's message, it's rooted as the series, but today's title is Where Faith Meets Life. Now, why a title like that? It's because Paul is going to get real practical. Paul's going to say, this is what you need to do. This is how you live it out. You know, last week, Pastor Brian, he started with my last point that I didn't get to 2 weeks ago. I can't say that again if I wanted to. So anyway, 2 weeks ago as I finished, I realized I was out of time. So I just stopped. So I did kill it and wear it, and the last one was live it. Say kill it, wear it, and live it. So he finished up live it and then went into his message. Thank you for that, for covering me on that. And great job last week, phenomenal. And today we're going to pick up and land the plane with Colossians. And we do have 3 points here, and it's pray it, obey it, and say it. It's super simple. So someone say pray it.
Pray.
Say obey it.
Pray.
Someone say it.
Say.
All right, so that's where we're going today, just so you know. So where faith meets life, Colossians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 2. And I want to give you the big idea before we step into the scripture. A rooted life shows up in how you pray, how you live, and how you speak. In other words, it's where faith meets life. And I'll talk more about where that is, and this is going to be, I actually had to stop last service to go, is this too practical? Do y'all want something heady? I can get into the Greek if you want. We may do that in a minute. But it was like, I think people sometimes don't realize how practical faith is for everyday life. Every day. Every day. Someone say every day. Some people think following Jesus is just about what you believe or what you know about the Bible. Maybe that's what it's about. It's about how I believe, what I believe, how I see things. It's not. Actually, Paul shows us this. It's about how you live your life every day. That's what this is about. I'm so thankful that I had a pastor, my first pastor as a brand new Christian, who was practical. He was like, this is how you live. And I needed help with that because I was raised completely different. And all of a sudden, I'm a Christian in a church. And I'm like, what do I do? What version of the Bible am I supposed to have? Do I have the right one? Apparently, I had the wrong one in this church. I had the green pillow-covered Living Bible. Anybody remember the original Living Bible? My mom had given that to me. She didn't know what to get, so she said, this one's pretty. So she got me the Living Bible. I'm at church, and I'm actually told by my first Sunday school teacher, never been in church in my life, I'm sorry, you have the wrong Bible. Well, welcome to church, family. Welcome to church. That was a good start. So here it is, your prayer life. Paul talks about your prayer life. He talks about your daily interactions, the daily stuff, and he talks about our conversations because what we say matters. And this is where faith meets life. So, number one, if you're a point taker, here it is. Number one, pray it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm reading out of the NIV today. Listen to this. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So, he just lays it out. Super simple. This is what you do. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the word intercession? Or intercessor as a noun. Intercession is something you do. Intercessor is someone who you are. We throw these terms around in church world, but we don't always know what they mean. So let me identify for you. And I had a couple of people come to me between the services during our meetup out there and saying, thank you for defining that, because I actually didn't know, but I just sort of act like I do because, you know, we're in church, right? No one wants to feel like they don't know everything, but trust me, you're in good company. So here it is. The word intercession means to stand between. And another way to say it is intercession rhymes with intersection. It's really the intersection of life and pain and hard things and good things. But it's the intersection of life. In other words, as an intercessor, there's a call on my life to stand in the gap and pray for, to stand at the intersection. Think New York Times and the guys, you know, directing traffic. You're literally like directing traffic spiritually. You intercede. You stand in between what's happening and where God is, and you try to meet the two up together. Getting God to meet with the need. That's intercession. And there are people who are called to intercession. Paul says this. Devote yourselves to pray. Most of the intercessors I've known have been quite devoted to prayer. But you know what? This is not just for intercessors standing at the intersection of your life. It's also for each one of us, for all of us. Turn to somebody and say, he's definitely talking about you. And as you say that, you're thinking, well, he's not talking about me, you know. Well, someone said it to you, you just didn't see him. You were facing the other way. So listen to this, verse 2. So devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Then Paul goes on to say, and pray for us too. He's talking about his team, his ministry team. So this is practical. Pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. That's the gospel for which I am in chains. Why does he say he's in chains? Because he's writing this from a Roman prison. This is one of the prison epistles that they're called in the New Testament. The word epistle, by the way, I feel like I got to define terms, it means letter. So when you hear the epistles of Paul, it's the letters of Paul. That's all that is. And so he wrote these. They're called prison epistles or prison letters. This was one of them. So he's in a Roman prison writing back to Colossae to help bring encouragement, correction, but also practical theology. Verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, I want to go back to our focus. That's the first sentence. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, listen to this out of 1 Thessalonians. You probably heard this too, 5:16 and 18. Rejoice always, okay? What do you think always means in the original language called Koine Greek? It's an ancient Greek language, and those who speak modern Greek would trip over actual Greek. It's kind of like you and I speaking English, and then we're tripping over 16th century Elizabethan English with the thys, the these, and the thous. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same kind of thing. So what do you think this word always means in the Koine Greek?
Always.
Man, y'all know me so well. Thank you. I'm not going to trick you, at least as far as you know, maybe someday, but not today. So it means literally you're to always be rejoicing, but also pray without ceasing. That means we're to be in an attitude or a mentality that even as we're going about our business, we're still in prayer. That doesn't mean you're closing your eyes when you're driving your car. Hello. It simply means you have a mentality or an attitude where you're just in communion. We use that word today. You're communing with God through the whole day. Why not bring God into your vehicle? Turn your cab into a cathedral or your Camry into a cathedral. Why not bring God into it? Or your Tesla into a temple. I mean, we could go all day on this, right? That just hit me. I know, weird. So think about this. As you're driving, that might be a good time to bring God into the equation. Can I get an amen? Now, I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit speaks to me when I'm driving a lot. Why? Because I need to be spoken to a lot by both the Holy Spirit Senior and Holy Spirit Junior sitting right here in the passenger seat. So I'm hearing from both, trust me, because probably my weakest flesh point is driving pretty much on the I-10 between here and San Antonio. I don't know why. It's just like the dead zone for me, you know. It's not that my phone doesn't work. It's that I don't work sometimes. And I get frustrated. But this is where you bring Jesus and life together. So, for example, you know, somebody cuts me off in a big old F-350 pickup, you know, and of course I'm going to bless them, right? Merge, everybody. Merge. No. Come on. Come on in. Well, that's what I should be doing, but usually I'm blessing them all right. I'm not even going to say what I'm just saying I'm human too. And these are points where I can be very weak. But like I said, I have both Holy Spirits working on me, and we're talking about this. I'm getting better because now I do find myself, Lord, I just pray for that man in that pickup who just cut me off and endangered the life of me and my family. You know, I just pray for them and lift up. This is practical theology. I know this is silly, but family, this is where it happens. This is the everyday stuff. And we don't always make it every day. If we're praying without ceasing, we're engaging every day with this attitude of just bringing God into everything. And listen to this. If you don't pray it, you won't see it. Here's the thing. We've been called to be prayers, to pray, to talk to God, to commune with Him. And yet if we don't pray it, we're not going to see it. There's so many things that we've asked God or we've wanted God to do or wanted to see, and yet we've not even brought it to Him in the simplest way. And by the way, this does not have to be fancy. This isn't about how well you can articulate your prayers. You don't even have to be able to pepper your prayers with Scripture like professional Christians like me do. I mean, this is what I do. I've been doing this a long time, so it's natural to me because I've done it a long time. But don't ever feel like your prayers are not being heard because your prayers aren't fancy. Is this practical enough? So don't pray it. If you don't pray it, you won't see it. Here's the thing. The word devoted in this means consistent. That means you're committed to, you're all in with. And you're literally like, I'm going to do this because I'm committed. I'm devoted to it. The second word there in that same verse is watchful. It says we're to be watchful. Now, I had the privilege, and our staff all went together, most of us, and we went out to the Patriot Academy, and we did the constitutional defense class. Nothing like watching your church secretary fire a gun. I'm just saying. It's like, ooh, she's bad to the bone, man. Do not mess with her. I'm just giving you fair warning. She's packing. So anyway, we had such a good time, and it was amazing. But they taught us things like situational awareness, being aware of your surroundings, common sense stuff. When you enter a restaurant, look at the exits. When you sit, if you can, doesn't always work out, try to sit with your back close to a wall. Annette and I walk into a restroom, and she knows I'm going to want to sit where I can see the entrance, the main entrance of the door. I want to know who's coming through the door, right? What is that? It's situational awareness. But you know what? We need that in prayer, too. Paul says, be watchful. Head on a swivel. That's a bad translation, but he's basically saying, pay attention to what's going on around you. Because things are going on around you, both for the good in God's work, but also for the bad, and the nefarious and the enemy is working as well. So the next word there in the last of that one verse is thankful. You know what thankful means? It just means being grounded. Just your feet are on the ground, and you're grounded, and you're stable. And you know what stable makes you? Able. Stable. Grounded. Not flip-flopping. Not back and forth, but just grounded and thankful to God for his goodness. Paul says this. He says, pray for open doors. He's asking for help. He's submitting a prayer request and a letter. He says, hey, pray for open doors for us. But here's what he doesn't pray for. And by the way, he's in chains, as he said. He doesn't pray for comfort. He doesn't pray for relief. He doesn't pray for release from prison. He doesn't even add that in there. Wait, isn't that a big deal? He's in chains, and he doesn't even ask why. Because he wants an open door to share the gospel right where he's at. He's making the most of the moment. It's the opportunity. So where faith meets life, title of this, but here's is. Start your day with one simple prayer. And by the way, simple does not always mean easy, and it doesn't always mean light. So listen to this. Start your day with this. You should jot this down if you can. God, show me where you're working today. That sounds very simple, doesn't it? Henry Blackaby wrote a great study a number of years ago called Experiencing God. That study was one of the first studies that really rocked me spiritually to where I was like, there is more to this than I thought, and it's practical. So here's what Henry Blackaby would say, and this is in his book and his workbook, Experiencing God. He says, look to see where God is working, and then join him in his work. And when you do so, you now will find yourself in the middle or the center of God's perfect will. Look to see where God's doing. Paul says, look around. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch as you pray. Why? Because then you will see God at work. Henry Blackaby goes on to say, when you recognize the activity of God, you've got to be watching, you've got to be paying attention, but when you recognize the activity of God, it is God's invitation. Someone say invitation. It's God's invitation for you to join him in his work. You ever been out somewhere doing something and you see something happening? I was at a Target of all, you know, at the rim. Annette's over, you know, we always split up when we go to Targets, divide and conquer. So she's over there in the girls section. I'm over there in the dude section to see if they have any t-shirts or anything I like. And I'm over there and I see this elderly man and he looks very disoriented. He's pushing a cart. So I go over and talk to him. I said, sir, are you doing okay? Can I help you? And the man proceeds to tell me that he shouldn't be driving, but he drove there. That his wife can't drive. She's now has Alzheimer's and she can't function. And as he's telling me all this, guess what I'm seeing? The activity of God. And I'm taking it as an invitation. You know, the question is if you receive an invitation, there's usually the expected what? RSVP. Anybody know what that stands for, by the way? Say it again loud. Oh, thank you. Now I know. I learn something new every day. So, I like RSVP better. So, that's a lot easier. So, so I asked this man, oh, somebody doesn't know what it means? Oh, Marcus, I'm sorry, brother. Say it again, loud.
Respond, AC, who play. Respond, please.
Well, I know that. But did y'all say some French words in there or something? Oh, that's why I'm having a hard time. Marcus, it's French. We got nothing here, bro. Love you. All right, so it just means respond, please. Got it? Yeah, we'll keep it simple for guys like me and Marcus. So I literally, I had to respond, please, to God's invitation. Why? I saw him at work. And I just asked that poor man, I said, can I pray for you and your wife? Man, my heart was broken over his story. And he said, thank you. I've been wanting somebody to pray for me. And he's in Target. And we just had a sweet time there and just prayed for him. Family. You know, we talk about being in the public square a lot as a church. We talk about engaging culture. And that sounds big, and we can go rah-rah on patriotism and all that, you know, yeah, conservative values, faith, family, freedom. But here's the deal. This is where it works in real life. Being in the public square isn't just, is it, Randy, just running for office. It's actually being open with your faith wherever you find yourself on any given day, which could be Target. Standing there in the men's kind of underwear aisle and T-shirts aisle, and talking to him and seeing that God's doing something amazing here, and you just offer a prayer, and you don't give a rip about what anybody thinks around you. Amen. That's called making it practical. This is where faith meets life. I walked out of that Target just on air, thankful that I got to pray with that precious man. Did I change anything? I don't know. It changed me. It impacted me. It impacted him in the moment. My prayer was that he would get home safely and that God would somehow intervene in that situation. This is where faith meets life, family. So you join God in his work. Prayer tunes us in to what God is already doing. There it is. When you're in an attitude of prayer and you're watchful, you're devoted to it, you begin to notice things, and we need to become better noticers to where we now begin to see things. Why? Because when I'm just going to HEB for whatever Annette sends me to the store for that day, and I'm just popping in and popping out, I'm not noticing a lot. I'm usually calling or going, what row is that in? I cannot find this. Any men related into the room? Thank you for your honesty. The rest of you? No, I'm just kidding. So, I mean, literally, I'm just in and out. And how many times have I missed opportunities because I wasn't devoted to prayer in the moment. I just wanted to get the milk. So this is where it meets real life. Second one, obey. Someone say, obey it. Obey. You know what that means? It does, just AKA, it means do it. Stole that from Nike, of course. Do it. Just do it. So listen to this, Colossians 4:5, continuing in our passage. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. What are outsiders? Simple. That just means non-believers, non-Christians. They're outsiders. That doesn't mean we're pushing them to be outsiders. It's just an identification. It's who they are. But look what it says. Be wise in the way you act toward them. Make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because opportunity will knock. And you'll have an opportunity to reflect and radiate Christ in their life, or you have an opportunity to not, depending on what you choose in the moment. This is where faith meets life every day. Listen to this in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive or will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what? You will be my witnesses. Now, he says that's what we're going to do, but we won't do it unless we choose to do it and unless we are intentional in the moment. In other words, he says, this is what you're supposed to do. And the question is, will we? Will we RSVP, Marcus? Will we RSVP and say, yeah, I'm showing up today. I'm looking, I'm watchful, I'm devoted, but I'm also want to make the most of every opportunity here. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's a loaded verse. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. These were Jesus' final instructions. He's saying, this is what you're to be found doing. But here's the thing, in the original language, it literally says this way, not therefore go, it says as you are going in the original language. In other words, it's action. And it's as you are going to these places where we live, where we work, and where we play. And as we're going out into these places, we're literally, it says, go therefore and do what? Make disciples. It literally says disciple nations in the actual construct. So it says, as you're going, disciple the nations. What do? We start right where we are. Maybe Target. Maybe HEB. Maybe even Walmart. But we start where we are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here's the point. If you don't act and step in, you'll miss it. That's what I meant by just going in and you're just blowing in, blowing out, not aware, not watchful. So be intentional. That means do it on purpose. Be present. And this is the hard one. Be interruptible. We do good on these others. It's kind of, you know, all right, okay, I can do that. I can do it on purpose. I can be present in the moment. But interrupted, that's inconvenient. That's where it gets real, isn't it? This is where faith meets life, when it's inconvenient, when your plans get disrupted, when your process gets disrupted, when your where you were going to go that day gets taken out. So where does faith meet life? Here it is. I just jotted these down. You already know this. At HEB. This is where it works. This is where it happens when you're out. Man, there's nothing more powerful than just talking to the amazing checkout people at HEB or Walmart and just asking them a simple question. We tend to say this, how are you doing? And what we get the F word, right? Wait, don't go where I think you just went. The F word is fine, okay? This is what our wives tell us when they don't want to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? So how's it going? And you ask somebody, a clerk, a waiter, they'll say, fine. It's all good. It's great. But here's the thing. Is it really? And I always like to add one little word on the end of that. How are you doing? I add really. And when you ask it like this, it changes the whole conversation. How are you doing? And before they can say fine or great or I can't wait to get off, you know, I hate this job. I mean, you get all kinds of stuff when you ask. But if you'll just say, how are you doing, really, and mean it, you know what will happen? They'll tell you. I'm not doing great. This is hard. I wish I was. The stories people have told me and Annette when we stop long enough to say really at the end of the sentence. It's been amazing. And we get an opportunity in a nanosecond to bring life to somebody who's probably heard a lot of bad news that day by the time we got there. And we can do that at HEB. We can do it at work. You can do it at your kid's game. Boy, there's a good place to take Jesus. Right? Helicopter parents. Right? Hovering. Come on now. I know we mean well and we're coaching them from the stands. But I'm telling you, the coaches on the team would sure thank you if you brought Jesus to the game instead of a megaphone. Amen? Instead of an attitude, we bring Jesus. Is this too practical? I'm meddling now, aren't I? Here's another one. How about when you're running late to church? Yeah, this is where faith meets life. And some of us, we'll do this, and Annette and I use this on each other. I'm going to go wait in the car. That's code for get your tail in gear because we're ready. We're going to be late. Some of you come into church, you look at your, you know, going, we're not going to get our seat. Somebody else is going to get our seat. And you walk in, you're frustrated. I already know it because I see you. I see you. Driving on the I-10, I already mentioned that, so I won't go there. But it's all, this is where it meets life, family. How about this? These aren't random moments. They're God moments. They're opportunities. So slow down, pay attention, step in. God opens doors, but you've got to walk through them. Kind of get an amen. Last one's simple. We won't take much time, but just say it. Just speak life. Be a life giver instead of a life sucker. There are some people that come into a room and they suck the life out of the room. You know what I'm talking about? Don't point at anybody in this room right now. Keep it to yourself. Listen to this, Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always. Do you know what always means in the actual Greek language? Awesome. So let your conversation be always full of grace. That means gracious speech, gracious words, seasoned with salt. So you got to understand, we're getting two things here. Gracious words, but sometimes we got to be salty. Jesus said you're to be salt and you're to be light. And there are times that we have to speak into situations, and it may not sound gracious, but when it's because I love you, I'm going to be salty right now. It's because I'm not assaulting you. I just want to be salty enough so that the word sticks, and we have to be salty as well as gracious. Amen? It's both and, not either or. It's both. Always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer who? Everyone. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone. There it is again. There's those everyone people. Everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. When Annette and I attended the Texas State Board of Education meeting in Austin a couple of weeks ago, I wish I could have just read this verse and highlighted, but do this with gentleness and respect. I would only take 15 seconds of my 2 minutes, and the other 1:45, I'd just sit there and let it ring. Just let it sit. Because if there was gentleness and respect going on in that arena, there might have been some much better outcomes, although they weren't too bad. Here's this. If you don't say it, they won't hear it. Have you ever thought about encouraging somebody? And it made you feel good that you thought about them. And it made you feel good that you thought about encouraging them. But you never communicated it. Am I the only human in the room who sat on an encouraging word? Didn't write them, didn't text them, didn't call them, didn't bump something their way on a DM or something. I just sat on it. But I felt good because I thought about encouraging them. And family, you got to understand that was only half of the equation. Let your life go. Let it fly. Speak with grace, gracious words. Keep it real. There's the salty words, speaking the truth, not just in love, as Ephesians 4 says, but because we love. Because I love you, I've got to be a little salty here. Why? Because it's for your good. Share your story. You never keep good news to yourself. Some of you husbands and wives already know what's coming 6 months later because your wife can't keep it to herself because she's so excited. Some of you husbands, the same thing. You got her something, but you're so excited that you did it, but you can't keep it to yourself. Why? Because it's good news. Good news is meant to be shared. Amen? It's meant to be given away. So as we land, here's where faith meets life. You don't need perfect words. This isn't about getting it all right. But you can share. Here's what God's done in my life. You think I'm bad now. Listen, it's not just that I'm right. I'm just less wrong than I used to be. You know what I'm saying? God is working on me right now. Some of you will get that at lunch. But I mean, God's working on me and changing me. And so grace opens hearts, but truth fills those hearts. So we speak gracious words and we bring the salt. We bring the truth and it fills them. So as we close, pray it, obey it, say it, where faith meets life. So I got an assignment for you. Super simple. I think you can handle it. Three little things. Here's one. Pray for one open door. Father, open a door. That's what Paul said. Pray for me that a door will open so that I can communicate the good news. What if we prayed for an open door? What if he said, Lord, just one door, just show me an open door, and I will obey. I will step into it. I'll do it. So here's the second thing, the obey part. Step into one moment in obedience. What if he opens a door for you and you step through that door? You know what will happen if you do that? More doors will open for you. A lot of times we wonder why no doors are open, everything's closed. I'm getting no breakthrough, no movement. It's because you didn't go through the last 15 he opened for you. He's waiting on you to walk in obedience. That's a scary word in our culture today. Nobody likes that. But just do what he says. Speak one word of life. This is the last thing. Speak one word of life to someone who needs it. By the way, it's like eating a Pringles off the top of the stack. You can't stop with one. Once you give a word of encouragement, a life, you're not going to stop there. You're going to eat the whole stack of Pringles. You know what I'm saying? I know it was deeply theological, but it's true. Because once you give a good word and the response happens, guess what? You can't stop. Can you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, we honor you in all we do and say. And Lord, even this week, we want to pray it. We want to do it. Obey it. And we want to say it, Lord. Give us Give us the heart and the will to be intentional in releasing life everywhere we go this week. We honor you. Pastor Brian, would you come up and close us out in prayer?
Did y'all get something out of this morning? Is that practical or what? Come on. We're going to go ahead and invite our altar prayer team to come up. If you're part of that team, if you would go ahead and come on up to the front. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never taken advantage of having one of these amazing folks up front pray for you to join you in going to heaven on behalf of anything you're dealing with, you're missing out. These guys are ready to partner with you in whatever God's put on your heart. So don't miss the opportunity to come pray with somebody before you leave today. I also want to remind you, don't forget to turn in your card. We'd love to hear from you. So would you stand to your feet with me? We're going to pray as we go out, and we're going to activate what we just heard. Y'all up for the challenge this week for God to move as you pray it and say it and obey it? Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we receive by faith this truth, your word. God, we pray that it would sink deep into the soil of our hearts, God, that would produce much fruit in us as we're willing to go and pray and obey and speak what you're putting into our hearts. God, give us eyes to see what you're doing around us and the ability to perceive where you're at work so we can join you in it. God, we commit now that we will not skip or miss the opportunity when you show us this week, Lord. We're ready, God. Move in our hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Praise him before you go, and you are dismissed.